Blessed be the God of our salvation.
He bears our burdens and forgives our sins.
Jesus said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these."
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you know that we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. Keep us both outwardly in our bodies and inwardly in our souls, that we may be defended from all adversities which may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts which may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Exodus. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in reading Psalm 95, antiphonally, by the whole verse. Those on the lector side will read the odd-numbered verses, while those on the choir side We'll read the even-numbered verses. Come, let us sing to the Holy One. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout with psalms.
For you, O God, are a great God. You are great above all gods.
In your hand are the caverns of the earth, and the heights of the hills are yours also.
The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land.
Come, let us bow down and bend the knee, and kneel before God, our Maker.
For you are our God, and we are the people of your pasture and the sheep of your hand. Oh, that today we would hearken to your voice.
Harden not your hearts, as your forebears did in the wilderness, at Meribah, and on that day at Massah, when they tempted me.
They put me to the test, though they had seen my works.
40 years long I detested that generation and said, "This people are wayward in their hearts. They do not know my ways."
So I swore in my wrath, "They shall not enter into my rest."
A reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He has told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Is the Lord among us or not? If you believe the testimony of the psalm, the Israelites were punished for asking that question. Maybe. But I'd like to think that, when keeping the whole narrative arc of Scripture in mind, the God that we meet there, both in the Old and the New Testaments, is not a God who punishes us for asking questions. Moses questioned God many times. Abraham asked questions and even bargained with God. Sarah laughed at God's messengers. We don't think of any of these ancestors in the faith as having been punished or rejected by God. Questions are not the problem. In fact, thinking you have all the answers might be a much bigger problem. Thinking you have all the answers so often leads to hardness of heart, something we see clearly in the Israelites who are grumbling against God and Moses. Hardness of heart can, in turn, lead to idolatry, perhaps the most grievous sin and temptation of all. The idolatry of the Israelites when they wandered in the desert becomes clear and concrete in an episode that happens just a little later than the one we heard this morning. The people have Aaron construct a golden calf so that they would have something solid and reassuring to worship. Most of us at one time or another have a golden calf in our lives. It is often our very human, understandable desire for safety, for certainty, for security, that becomes hardened into idolatry as we fixate on a solution or a savior that is something other than God, but that holds a godlike value for us, whether that is faith in the stock market or the letters after our name that indicate academic achievement or success and so on. Asking questions indicates openness. Believing we have all the answers closes us off so that no new idea, no stirring of the spirit can touch us. So no, I hardly think the worst thing we can do is ask questions, even or especially of God. Both last week and this week, our gospel readings tell stories of people who question Jesus. Nicodemus and the woman at the well are parallel figures in many ways. It's almost as if they were designed for a compare and contrast essay question, at least to my English major mind. The surface differences are obvious. He is a man with a name. He's a religious leader. He initiates an encounter with Jesus at night in the dark. She is a woman who is not given a name in the story. She's an outsider. She's not Jewish. She's not a leader. She is someone who encounters Jesus at his instigation in the light and heat of the noonday sun. The more important difference between them, though, is in how they respond to their encounters with Jesus. Nicodemus leaves the encounter still questioning and not yet ready to step into the light and share the hope that is in him. The woman at the well also still has questions, to be sure, but her questions exhibit a genuine willingness to have her mind changed, her understanding expanded. As Caroline Lewis writes, she demonstrates what can happen when we actually engage in conversation and questions about our faith. The woman at the well shows us that faith is about dialogue, about growth and change. It is not about having all the answers. And you get a sense in the story of how much Jesus enjoys answering and asking questions with her. Furthermore, when she finds that this encounter with Jesus has changed her mind, has transformed her heart and mind in some way, she is unafraid to go back to her community and tell them about what happened. She encourages others to find out for themselves what they might experience if they too encounter Jesus, uttering those words that mean so much in the Gospel of John, "Come and see." She is a witness and a bridge builder. Or as Professor Laura Holmes concludes, she is a theologian and evangelist, leading others to Jesus. Her curiosity and her questions leave her open for more, wanting to share her experience, not keep it hidden away. And she is definitely not in trouble for asking questions. A lot of people right now, I think, are asking some version of the question, is the Lord among us or not? We shouldn't shame or belittle anyone who is asking this. It does not indicate a lack of faith. And we shouldn't shame or belittle ourselves when a question like that wells up in us. There are a lot of things we need to question in this world. And once any area of inquiry is declared off limits, then it becomes easier to be bullied into silence or submission. So we should always ask all the questions, especially those without easy or satisfying answers. In fact, we as a community need to create and find the answers together. We need to find the answers in the actions of people who are doing the work of peace and justice, of liberation and solidarity, the work that will bring us closer to the beloved community for which we long. I have to believe there have been people on the streets of Minneapolis who have been asking the question, is the Lord among us or not? Mothers in Iran are asking that question today. Children in Gaza are asking that question. People living in poverty, in fear, in hunger, all over the world and right here in our own neighborhoods are asking the question. The question is not the problem. If anything, the question can bring out the best in us. We, the church, can become part of the answer. We can show that the Lord is with those who are most oppressed by systems of injustice by working to dismantle those systems. We can show that the Lord is with those who are terrorized by war and violence by not letting war and violence be waged in our name. Back in June, the magazine Christian Century published an article by Stanley Hauerwas and Episcopal Bishop Andrew Doyle about the U.S. bombing of Iran. The magazine reprinted it this week, and the article ends with these words: "We will not bless these bombs. Our faith is deep and strong enough to bear the burden of not approving something morally while loving all people harmed on both sides and serving those who serve. We believe in a church that is against war in its theology and theory, and that practices peace in its life together. We believe in a gospel that does not need missiles to make it real. And we believe in a Christ who still calls his followers to love beyond borders, beyond fear, beyond the rationalizations of empire. Christ for the world, we sing. War is a failure of imagination. The church is supposed to be an alternative. Let us live like it." The church is supposed to be an alternative. Let us live like it. Yes, let us live as an alternative to the violence and oppression of empire. Let us be so focused on love and solidarity and showing up for those on the margins that nobody will have to ask whether the Lord is among us or not. Our lives, the life of the church, can be a witness to a different way of being, a different way of embodying community. Here, in this church, instead of blessing bombs, we on a regular basis bless bicycles and solar panels and backpacks and babies. Instead of blessing a military occupation of our streets through silence and implied consent, we speak out and write policies and plan to become the helpers we need. Instead of blessing policies of discrimination, we bless bread and break it and share it. Instead of blessing the industries that extract and exploit, we bless wine and pour it out for the life of the world. So please, keep asking questions, and no matter what, do not settle for easy answers. Ask questions of the government, of the church, and of yourself. The Lord is among us indeed, among us in our questions, in our struggle, in the pain, and in the blessing. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, and came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Heavenly God, you have promised to hear what we ask in the name of your Son. Accept and fulfill our petitions as we pray in Christ's name, saying, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We offer prayers for the Christian church, here and in every place. May your people, O God, remain receptive to your Spirit, even when hard-pressed by fears and doubts of many kinds. When we fear our wells have run dry, fill us with the living water that only you can provide. We pray for our Bishop Megan and all members of your church. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We offer prayers for the world's leaders, that they may see themselves first as peacemakers rather than those who wield power. Give us strength and courage, O God, to act and speak on behalf of those whose voices are silenced by war, oppression, and fear. Help us to see the resources that we have to oppose injustice, particularly through those who represent us in government, and give us the will to act. Lord, in your mercy, we offer prayers for the pain we see daily in the world. Help us to keep our hearts tender, sensitive to the pain and sorrow of others. Touch our hearts with your Spirit, so that we may become like you, O God of compassion. We pray especially for those on our parish prayer list. Lord, in your mercy, where there is suffering in our community, produce endurance. Where there is endurance, produce character. Where there is character, produce hope. And where we place our hope in you, let us not be disappointed. Lord, in your mercy, we thank you, Lord, for friends and family near and far, and for all the blessings of this life, naming them now before you, silently or aloud. Lord, in your mercy, we thank you, Lord, for your victory over death. And we gladly remember those who stood by us, who cheered us by their sympathy, and strengthened us by their example. We pray for those who have died.
We pray for the repose of the soul of Milton Azevedo, for his family, friends, and colleagues who mourn.
Lord, in your mercy.
O God of peace, you have taught us that in returning and rest we shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be our strength. By the might of your Spirit, lift us, we pray, to your presence, where we may be still and know that you are God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. The peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. You may be seated for the announcements.
Good morning, everybody. Hello again. Thank you. If you don't know me, my name is May. I am on the vestry, and I am here to give you your announcements this morning. If you want to see them all for yourself, there is a neat little yellow insert inside your bulletins. That way you can have all the details. I'm just going to highlight a few of them for you this morning. First of all, Tuesday evening book study. Again, we are holding it every week in Lent. It is Richard Rohr's The Tears of Things, Prophetic Wisdom for an Age of Outrage. It's really, really good, y'all. It's really good. We're going to be going over chapters 3 and 4 this week. You can listen to the podcast online or read the book for yourself. All right. So, Wednesday night Super Suppers. We've been partnering with Lutheran Church for Wednesday nights. And if you want to sign up to give soup, please sign up in the narthex, all the way in back. Reverend Pamela will be offering a brief reflection on the service this weekend. This week, rather. Not weekend. It's in the middle of the week. If you are interested, there are some statements written by the Episcopal Bishop on the military strike in Iran. Our presiding bishop, Sean Rowe, has issued a statement on the events. And also, if you look on those links that are in the bulletin, you can also find our bishop, Megan Tricare's, letter as well. On Friday, March 13th this week, there's going to be a Learner's Shabbat at Congregation Beth Havarim. That is going to be a great opportunity for you. If you have ever been interested in going to a Shabbat service, I highly recommend it. They're really, really cool. And in this one, they're going to give you a little bit of extra information as to how and why they do all the things that they do. It's really cool. Great opportunity. Go for it. And finally, Holy Week is coming. That's the whole point of Lent, right? So there are all the dates in your bulletin. Put those in your phone calendar so you do not forget them. I'm not going to go through all of them for you. You can all look at that in the bulletin. Pamela?
Thank you. Yes, can you imagine having Lent and no Holy Week? It would be like, what is it in Narnia where it's always winter and never Christmas? We have a couple of birthdays, but if you have something you would like to come forward and share with us, you can make your way toward the Eagle microphone. I know, let's see, yeah, Chemo, come on up. At the first service, Terry O'Flaherty has a birthday. Oh, Gabe. Is it Gabe's birthday? Oh my gosh. Wow. Wow. Happy birthday. Come on forward. Come on up to the, I'm just like vamping while I wait for you to get to the microphone. And I do also, while people are coming to the microphone, I see it, one of our ushers is in the back with some goodie bags. So please, if you have not had If you've not received one of our welcome bags, just raise your hand so we can get you a welcome bag. All right, that can be happening simultaneously. Chemo, take it away.
Okay, the love of my life, my dear Deborah, celebrated a birthday this past Thursday. So she's yeah.
Yay.
And she's home Zooming from church to church today. She's because this Friday she finds her. He's getting her long-awaited corrective knee surgery, so she's avoiding big crowds.
Good.
So keep her in your prayers.
Yay.
I'm Libba, and our family has an incredible celebration. We've been praying for our daughter-in-law who lives next door with our son and three grandsons, and she has multiple myeloma and has been near death several times, but she went through a stem cell transplant right before Thanksgiving, and she just had her 90-day post-transplant appointment at UC Med Center, and she has been cleared to go back to normal, meaning she'll have maintenance chemo, but she can come out of isolation in her back bedroom, not able to eat with her children or hug them without masks on and cleanliness, which doesn't come with boys really well. So, so we're just praising God for that answer to prayer.
So. Yay! Oh, that's so good. So glad. Nancy.
I'm Nancy Anderson, and I'm just happy that my baby will be 43 on Pi Day.
Aww.
So we always celebrate. We have pie shirts. And
It is almost Pi Day. Yay. Oh, wonderful. Michael.
My name is Michael. I spoke to you a number of weeks ago about two dear friends of mine, one who had lung cancer, and I'm happy to say that he found out that it's pretty much in recession. So I'm grateful for that. My other friend, whom is like a brother to me, experienced a brain cancer. I sent a text to his daughter, and she said that Tim has had his eyes closed for 2 days, and he's so strong, but he's still trying to get to heaven. And then Saturday morning, I got a text from his wife that Tim had passed away but was in peace. So I just want to stand before you and say that God has blessed me with a wonderful fellow, and I'll miss him a lot, but I'm happy that he died in peace. So thank you.
Thank you. And thank you. Yeah. Thanks for telling us about Tim, and we'll pray for the repose of his soul. Yes. Your grandpa's birthday? When is it? Okay, it's coming up on Tuesday. Fantastic. Thank you. And we did have one, a little birdie, tell us that it's Jeffrey's birthday today, too. So happy birthday to Jeffrey. All right. Well, I think that got all of the ones that we know about it. Your celebrations and milestones prayer is on page 7 in your bulletin, and we say this together. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We'll have communion up front around the altar rail this morning. You can come up to the side, and there will be an usher here who will let you know when it's time to go up to the altar rail. You can stand or kneel, whatever is more comfortable for you. The bread is gluten-free and vegan, so we try to make it as available to as many people as possible, and everyone is welcome to come forward to receive. You can cross your arms, indicating you would just like a blessing. You can have it when the bread is in your hand, you can leave it there, and the chalice bearer will come and intinct it for you and give it back to you. Or you can communicate, once you get the bread, you can eat it yourself and then wait for the chalice to come by. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Oh,
God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who was tempted in every way as we are, yet did not sin. By his grace we are able to triumph over every evil and to live no longer for ourselves alone, but for him who died for us and rose again. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious God, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Maker of all. Jesus stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Almighty God, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in Christ. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through Jesus Christ, our Savior. By Christ, and with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen.
And first in Spanish and then in English, we say, as our Savior Christ has taught us, Padre nuestro que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre, venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación, y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuyo es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Of the souls of
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of Christ and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Do not be afraid. Stand firm, knowing the saving power of God, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.